Today, the 2011 Ski Jumping and Nordic Combined Junior Olympics conclude in Salisbury, Connecticut. For the past 3 days, skiers and jumpers from all over the United States have competed on Salisbury's Satree Hill. Some of the young athletes have been training for as long as a decade, but the town of Salisbury has been preparing for this event for more than 85 years. Only a Game's Karen Given has our story.
Watching ski jumping on TV is a thing of wonder, but nothing compares to the sights and sounds found a few steps below the takeoff ramp as athletes fly, literally fly, just above your head.
That was a little better.
Larry Stone has been watching jumpers fly for his entire life. He was inducted into the U.S. Ski Jumping Hall of Fame last year for his tenure as a national team coach and his contributions to the sport of women's jumping. He's retired now, but when he was only 8, Stoney, as the locals call him, got his ski jumping start right here in Salisbury, a town of less than 4,000 in the far northwest corner of Connecticut.
When I grew up in the 50s here, there were probably 8, maybe 9 jumps in town, and we all even had them in our backyards. We'd make them on little hillsides, and it was, you know, you just grew up here doing it like kids play baseball anywhere else.
Stone and his neighbors competed against kids from places like Norfolk, Bear Mountain, White Plains, and Rosendale, New York. Back in the 50s, Stone says, ski jumping was a normal part of small-town culture in New England. But somewhere along the way, that culture was lost.
All those towns that I was talking about, they don't have jumps anymore. Very few of them do. There used to be dozens of them, and now there's just a handful.
Recently, the residents of Salisbury were faced with a choice: invest more than $700,000 into building a new ski jump tower, or risk becoming one of the dozens of New England towns for which ski jumping is a thing of the past.
My name is Willie Hallahan, and I am one of the 19 directors of Salisbury Winter Sports Association.
The Salisbury Winter Sports Association, or SWASA, owns Satree Hills Ski Jump and operates jumping and skiing programs for kids in town. And you heard right, SWASA has 19 directors, all of whom eventually got behind the idea of building a new tower. If they built it, the Junior Olympics promised to come to town, bringing a national event to Salisbury for the first time since 1952. If they didn't, well, Hallahan says, nobody liked what would happen then.
We had an old wooden tower that has been in existence for decades. It was basically 26 pairs of telephone poles connected by that ramp, that in-run that the skiers come down. And it had gotten old, it had gotten rickety. We wouldn't let more than 3 jumpers up at the top at the same time because it would sway in the wind, just like the Empire State Building, but not as strong.
Ski jumping came to Salisbury in the 1920s with the arrival of a Norwegian immigrant, John Satree. Back home, Satree had been a world-class Nordic skier. In 1926, he decided to show Salisbury what the sport was all about.
One day he skied off the edge of a barn roof, and everybody was so enthralled that the next thing you know, they built a ski jump, a rudimentary one, but basically have been ski jumping ever since.
Every Christmas break, SWASA holds a clinic to teach a couple dozen local kids to jump, starting out on a 20-meter hill hidden in the woods. Hallahan understands why there aren't more. After all, despite the countless hours he's put into Salisbury's jumps, he's never been inclined to ski off one of them.
Never. and I think if you walk to the top of the hill, you may decide you wouldn't want to either. It's terrifying up there. The hill itself is 250 feet high, and the tower is another 70 feet above that. So when you're at the top of the tower, you're over 300 feet off the ground. It's a great view, but the notion of going down is just terrifying, too terrifying to contemplate for me.
Digby Brown is in charge of making sure everyone stays safe during today's Junior Olympic practice jumps. He grew up jumping in another New England town, Keene, New Hampshire. But he is another of the 19 SWASA directors who have never jumped off Satree Hill.
That doesn't make any difference. It's a people thing, you know.
Since World War II, not much has changed in the way SWASA prepares the hill for competitions. Sure, the organization now relies on snowmaking equipment during dry years, but the snow must still be set in place and grooves cut into the track by hand. Brown says when it's time to pack the tower, dozens of townsfolk pitch in to do their part. This year, the job was scheduled for one of the coldest nights of the year.
Yeah, right, that's right. It was the coldest night, I guess. It was about 6 or something, plus the wind. It blew about 40, 50 miles an hour, they say, after. Anyway, we were up there just having fun. Come on.
The thing about warming up with an extra large cup of peppermint tea at a coffee house in Salisbury while waiting for the parade of athletes to begin is that it's easy to strike up a conversation with a person at the table next to you. And the person at the table next to me is, you guessed it, another one of the 19 directors of the Salisbury Winter Sports Association. Lisa Shebley says that when building a new tower and hosting the Junior Olympics was first proposed, everyone was worried that raising the $700,000, which later grew to $850,000, wouldn't be possible.
We all said that. But somehow, this little dream, because jumping is a dream anyway. I mean, it's boys and girls are flying in the air. That's not supposed to happen. So for there to be this fundraising monstrosity of a job, it sort of goes with ski jumping somehow, you know?
Nick Moore lives in the nearby town of Sharon and is volunteering this week in the ticket booth. Though this is Salisbury's first Junior Olympics, the town holds a regional event every year. And every year, Moore says, the jumps, as the competition is called, bring a sense of wonder.
It's almost like Brigadoon, that you don't even notice that the ski jump is in town until you put the snow on it. It's dark and brown against the hillside, and people come out of the woodwork to pack the tower, to help volunteer, to do all the little things you need to do, and it happens. It's magic.
A lone drummer leads the 53 junior Olympians through the center of downtown, past the Academy building, currently hosting a photo exhibit celebrating Salisbury's 85 years of ski jumping, and past a large donation meter with the line hovering at just under $700,000. The parade stops at the steps of the library, said to be the oldest publicly funded free library in the country, where the young Olympians are greeted by music befitting a place where time stands still. Nina Lucy, a 16-year-old jumper from Lake Placid, carried the Olympic flame, just a tiki torch lit by a Bic lighter. She's visited Salisbury many times for the annual jumps, and she might be the only one who misses the old tower.
It's kind of sad. I mean, it's not the same old rickety tower as it used to be. That part of it is a little bit sad that it's gone, but the new tower and the new hill are simply amazing, and it's now really one of the best in the country, and everyone's lucky to be able to be jumping here.
Let the games begin! And the cauldron.
It takes a while, but eventually the cauldron is lit. Volunteers and jumpers head off to a spaghetti dinner, and Roy Sherwood, a 78-year-old lifelong resident of Salisbury, agrees to one last interview.
I've been very fortunate to be one of the better ones that come out of this town. Or the best. I have to blow my own horn once in a while.
Sherwood represented the U.S. in ski jumping at the 1956 Winter Olympics in Italy. He encourages new athletes to try ski jumping, but says today's kids are too lazy to climb Satre Hill's 300 stairs. They'd rather go downhill skiing, where they can take the lift. But with the new tower, Sherwood has found new hope for his town and for his sport.
That's a great town, and all I can do is get greater. Oh, I'm so glad. I've so glad I was born in Salisbury, Connecticut.
For Only a Game, I'm Karen Given.
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is John Ferrati. Our intern is Mark Filippino. And our senior producer is Gary Wallach. If you'd like to see Karen Given's ski jump photo gallery, revisit any of our stories, or learn about the music in the show, please visit onlyagame.org. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Only a Game Radio. In our final word, Lisa Shebley, SWASA board member and former photographer, responds to a query about whether she has ever sailed off the Salisbury, Connecticut ski jump.
I have not. A couple of times with my camera when I slipped, I thought I might. But that's not the way to go.
With both feet on the ground, I'm Bill Littlefield. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next week.
Support comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at mecfound.org. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, committed to helping Americans lead healthier lives and get the care they need, on the web at rwjf.org. And the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world, on the web at hewlett.org. This is NPR.